What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
All right, what's happening out there? It is time to dance. A little bit of March Madness in the air, right? This is Bolt Brady and his bro. Welcome back. Took a little breather. We're recharged and ready to chit some hoops for you. What's up to our guy, Bolt?
Time to dance. Time to get your groove on.
Woo, woo.
Last time, wow, I'm a little juiced to be back on the air here. It's been a little while.
Just recharged and ready to rip.
No kidding. Last time we were on here, we suggested taking Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and that worked out okay.
Yep.
And now it's time for, like you said, time to dance.
Let's do it. This is always a great time of year.
Oh, dude, it's unreal. And then I took the gander, and I'm like, well, not only do we have the first four tonight, but the big NIT starts.
Mm.
So we have,
which Carolina politely declined. They go, we're not that kind of squad.
Wow, you're starting off with that banger coming out of the gates.
You brought up the NIT.
Well, so how about this? So I was like, okay, UNC. Well, let's just go straight to it. It's the 409 of the century.
Mm-hmm.
You were preseason number one, and you can't even make the March Madness dance.
Yeah, it's never happened.
No, it hasn't. Clean it up. How many starters did they have return? Was it three or four?
I mean, they had a good roster. You know, if they're throwing you out there as the number one, you better bring it a little more than that.
I mean, you were in the championship game. You had at least three or four returning starters, and you guys can't even go back to the dance, meaning you're not even in the top 64. You're straight garbage.
68, counting the play-in games.
Oh, wow. Clean it up. I mean, it's the clean it up of the century, maybe. And UNC, how about when they go, oh, you're invited to the NIT? And it's such an embarrassment to their school and their establishment. We go, we can't even show up.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not even going to play in it because that is a bueno look for us.
Did you see that guy who's kind of going for the scoring record, too, from Detroit Mercy?
Yeah.
He's like a sixth-year player because of the COVID and all that stuff. And their record's terrible. And, you know, I think he was like just 6 points shy or something of it, but they didn't make it to the March Madness. And they were like, well, they're kind of pursuing some other postseason tourneys here. And I'm like, that's not really in the,
in the
spirit
cards
of the record here.
Wasn't he trying to beat, like, Pistol Pete's?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Pistol Pete's scoring record. Yeah, I know. They're trying to finagle it to try to get in. Like, dude, nope, but didn't make it. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, and the amount of games that Pete played versus this dude wasn't even close.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Pete threw up numbers.
Right, and that was before the three ball.
Exactly.
So Pete must have just dominated.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that, before we jump into this, that I thought would be super helpful for everyone to know, because you're going to hear it a lot. How about this one? How many quad one wins a team has? And so I'm like, maybe it'd be a good idea for us to discuss what a quad one win is. Because they'll be like, well, you know, for example, Kansas has the most quad one wins. Kansas with 17 quad one wins. Texas with 14. Alabama with 13. Well, no one ever tells you what a quad one win is.
Yeah.
Right?
They like to get real analytical with some of this. Like, the KenPom standings.
KenPom. Yeah, people are a little disappointed with his rankings this year. But anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, a quad one win is if you play a top 30 team at home and you beat them. If you play a top 50 team on a neutral court and you beat them. Or if you play on the road and they're a top 75 team and you beat them. That's a quad one win.
Top 75.
On the road, yep.
Yeah.
Home, top 30. Neutral, top 50. So, like I said, Kansas, the most, was 17. Then Texas with 14. And then Alabama, 13. So, you're going to hear that a lot. Now you'll know what it means.
Yep, good to know. Because they do, I mean, geez, you can't turn on any of these channels now without them breaking down brackets and getting everyone's theory on who they think's going to advance and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's all these different theories and stuff. It's a little bit of overload.
This might be the one time where it doesn't, you know, like some of the people that don't have a clue actually might get some games right because that's how hard it is to pick the tourney.
Well, the bracket brings everyone, even the casual fans, just give it a shot. That's what makes it so fun.
Oh, yeah, it does. You know, one of our listeners, Big Corey out in Texas, was asking on Twitter. He wants to take University of Texas to win it all. And I think they were like, you know, 17-1 odds. And so he's like, would it be better if I just played the money line every game and just rolled it over? And I was like, yeah, I'm not a mathematician, but yeah, it would be. and it is because, so like Texas plays Colgate their first game, right? Mm-hmm. If you put $100 down, you'll probably win like literally like $15. So you have $115. But then the next game, you know, you're going to play Texas A&M or Penn State. That might be more like a minus one game. So now you're going to double up your money, and you start doubling up your money, and you're going to get a lot better odds. You know, instead of putting down 100 to win, you know, if it was 17-1 to win like 1700, more than likely you'd probably win like $3,000
mm-hmm.
if they ended up winning it just by keep rolling over the money line. So
got to win that first one to get the bankroll going.
Well, that's true, but you'd have to win that first one even if you did the 17-1 odds. So, you know, we've kind of talked about this before. Those like, hey, I'm going to, you know, odds to win the tournament or odds to win the region, you know, feel free to put money on it. But just FYI, they're jacking you on the odds. You should get way better odds than what they give you, and they don't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Texas is interesting because their coach had the domestic thing, and then the wife dropped it, so he's been gone.
Right.
It's kind of when the new coach steps in, they go on a little bit of a run. I mean, still a two seed, which is good, but kind of brings up that old Michigan squad in 89 where Fisher stepped in, and they took it all the way to the title.
Oh, like as the intern coach. Yeah, someone showed a stat of how do intern coaches do in the NCAA. And it was like 50-50. Like some of them did pretty good. Others got bounced. But Texas seems to be like kind of rolling at the right time right now. The problem that I have is they're in the Midwest bracket over there. And they got Texas. They've got the winner, you know, if they get past Colgate, the winner of Texas A&M or Penn State. Both those teams, I think, would be super difficult to beat.
Yeah, I think Penn State's actually favored, even though they're the 10 seed I saw.
Well, and I've got Penn State beating the big Texas A&M there. I like Penn State. They actually ball. Their best player is this guy named Jalen Pickett, and he's actually a transfer from Siena. He averages 18 a game, and he can create a shot. Penn State can launch the threes. They're like one of the best three-point shoot teams in the tournament. They hit like over 38% as a team, which is large.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like Penn State there. And in fact, sorry Corey, but I've got Penn State beating Texas.
I have to reassess the strategy there.
So taking a look at the brackets here, the other thing that pops off at me is the easiest, you know, number one seed to me has got to be in the South with big Alabama, top left hand corner there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's just, you know, you got U of A is the number two. I mean, okay, you know, you're that scared of them. I mean, they're pretty good. And then you have like Baylor, and then you just have like a lot of these middle of the road squads.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely got one of the better brackets to come out of. Did you hear the stat about no one from west of the Mississippi winning a title since 97? And it was U of A.
Wow. Since 97, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that on the radio. I'm like, geez, I had to think about it for a second.
Well, you know what? I can tell you why. Like, I watch a lot of basketball, and the Big Ten, for example, or the Big 12, and let's say like the SEC, but really the Big Ten and the Big 12. But I got to give the Big Ten the number one props. You watch a ball game there, holy cow. I mean, do those places go bananas? Like I watched Illinois, shout out to big Champaign, Illinois. I can't remember who they were playing. It doesn't matter. They just play anyone in league. And I was like, dude, this place is like, it's like the Super Bowl in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going effing bananas. And I'm like, if you got recruited by Illinois or Oregon, I mean, where are you going? Like they go, hey, let's go on the recruiting trip. And you go to Oregon, and you're like, this is pretty sweet. And, you know, they do they, you know, announce your name while you walk onto the court so you can imagine, you know, you being there. And then they go, hey, why don't you come on into the Illinois-Iowa game? And you're like, are you shitting me? This is where I want to play. I want this crowd going nuts for me.
Why don't you take it on the town with a few of our guys tonight and see what you think about champagne?
And we're going to introduce you to a few lady friends as well and tell us what you think.
Like, this is a little more fun.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's why you're seeing like UCLA and USC. It's the TV contracts and the exposure is way different in these leagues.
Well, yeah. And then, but with that in mind, I do think, you know, this kind of coincides that. So the Pac-12, believe it or not, the last 10 years, guess which league has been the most profitable against the spread?
Pac-12.
The big Pac-12. And so I think that might be, you know, one of the reasons is people don't pay as much attention to them. So yeah, they don't get the championships, but hey, this podcast is about getting the chippers and the Pac-12 comes to play for that.
Yeah, you know, and it's for all sports. These games are always on later at night, so everyone back east doesn't even watch them, and then you have half of these writers don't write articles about these guys and these squads.
Right. Well, I've come to learn, you know, like I've made this mistake, you know, in the last couple of years recently where I'm like, wow, the Big Ten is just incredible how legit they are, and bar none, in my personal opinion, the Big Ten, I think, is the best to watch. It's just like every game almost, except like with the exception of when they play like Minnesota. But even like Nebraska brings it sometimes at home. Like when they play each other at home, I mean, it's electric. And it shows only two of the teams were actually had a winning percentage over 500 on the road in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard it is to play on the road. Those teams bring it. But so anyway, it's the most entertaining. But we'll get to it here. Unfortunately, they don't show up typically in the tournament.
Because they get so hyped.
Yeah. You
know, and then there's just this letdown by a lot of them.
Right. They get super hyped. And then you've got like big Creighton or big Oral Roberts knocking them off. Just these squads that don't get nearly as much run on the tuber.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, when these come out and everyone's always like, take a look at the 5-12s. I mean, what do you do in terms of buying into the... Because everyone's got their... super trendy upsets. I was telling you earlier, it's like I think everyone's saying Drake, right?
Yes, they are.
Drake, the 12th seed. Are we really gonna see Drake win two games here?
Well, one thing that stuck out to me, okay, and we're going back old school here, but I remember, you know, I've been like checking out the top teams and I'm like, dude, these guys just aren't winning that many games. And so I came across a stat, and typically the teams in the top 15 since 2015, they win about 70% of their games on the road. Like, it doesn't matter. They're the most dominant teams, you know, the Carolinas typically and the Dukes and the Gonzagas. They win 70% of their games on the road since 2015. But this year, they only won 52% of the games on the road. So it's like these teams get out of their environment and they're susceptible to losing to some of these squads.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I noticed was I remember back in the day, back in the heyday, woo, back in the day where you're in college and you say, peace out to school on Thursday and Friday. We're watching the March Madness games. And I remember back in those days, like with the Christian Laettner and the Bobby Hurleys, when they would go to the tournament, their first round, they would be, I remember this, one year they were 37-point favorites.
Jeez.
I can't remember the squad they played. But anyway, I took them and all the number one seeds, and all of them were at least like 19 points. And I parlayed them for the W. It was great. I wouldn't recommend doing that this year by any means. But compare that to this year, there's only one team that's favored by 19. The rest of them are all less.
Yeah. Well,
so it's interesting.
The reason being is the guys used to stay in college back then. You know, you'd have some juniors and seniors on the squad. We're dealing with these one-and-done guys or guys that hit the portal. They give up on a coach and a team. They're younger. Some of these guys don't put it together till later in the season. Like Duke. Duke didn't figure it out because they're four freshman starters till later in the year. So, yeah, you got four seniors in your starting lineup, they're going to ball back in the day.
Right. Well, that's some people look for those squads now still because some of them are still there. I'll give you one of them. Montana State.
Okay.
They're not only super tall, but they're super experienced.
Who are they opening with?
Who are they opening up with? It was a pretty good squad.
Well, I was reading about one of those too, and I told you I'm going to catch a couple games here.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to the Sac Town to catch some March Madness.
And who you get to watch?
The opening game is Missouri and Utah State.
Oh, okay.
And then my second game will be Arizona Princeton.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep, Thursday morning at 10:30.
Well, I'll have some picks for you on those games. One of them is actually a best bet.
Is it?
Well,
Arizona over Princeton?
Nope. Missouri's the number 7 seed against the Utah State. Okay, and you ready for this one? Big Missouri has not been to the dance for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing the big Utah State, who is a good 3-point shooting team, but the over-under's 155. And you got to be shitting me if you think those guys are going to hit that number. Not happening. Missouri hasn't been to the tournament in 5 years, and they're going to be just coming out lighting it on fire. I don't think so. The jitters are going to be there. 155's a boatload. First best bet, under 155.
I actually was reading about them because it's one of the games I'm going to. And it said, I don't think the over can be high enough.
Really?
And the guy was trying to pump it up.
How perfect is that? I mean, you tell me that, and that makes me want to double up on it.
Let's do it.
Because these guys have clues, and I mean no clue. Yeah, okay.
So, but I was checking out big Utah State. I guess they are one of the teams that has some older senior leadership here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they have some size to contend with some of these dudes that get bigger recruits. So I've got big Utah State winning a couple games here.
Oh, more than one.
Yeah.
You got them beating the U of A?
Yep, I do. And then I have them beating Baylor, too.
Wow, so okay.
There's my bracket bust on that side.
They are a solid team. They're good at shooting threes. I saw who Montana State's playing now. They're playing down the east, and they take on Kansas State, which is the number 3 seed. And Kansas State's a little bit overrated in my eyes. I do have Kansas State winning the ball game, but not covering.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the line? Was it like double digits?
I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, there are some bigger ones. You know, there's not some 37-point ones, but I think Gonzaga's like 15.5.
Yeah, but like back in the – yeah, that's pretty high because isn't Gonzaga like only like the 6th seed or whatever, 5th seed?
No, they're 3.
Oh, they're 13. But yeah, typically those are a lot higher. I mean, I'm not kidding. When they used to be like – they were regularly in the high 20s and 30s back in the day. Speaking of back in the day and the Bobby Hurley, well, if you want to get entertainment, ladies and gentlemen – this guy does not sit down the entire game.
For ASU?
And his blood pressure must be about 500. It's incredible because like when he was a player, I mean, he complained sometimes, but he mostly kept his mouth quiet. When he is a coach, I love Bobby as a player. Wow, is he slightly annoying as a coach.
Yeah.
And they have the opportunity to play because they're one of the first four in.
Yep.
They play big Nevada. And by the way, another best bet. Arizona State. I like them against Nevada. Let's rock and roll. And they're going to play the winner of TCU. But another game that's that's interesting, that's the first four, Mississippi State, okay? Their coach as well. Wow, this guy's blood pressure might be 600. I mean, the guy does not sit down. It's incredible. So if you want to see some coaches, Mississippi State's Chris Jans. I mean, I don't know if you've seen, I know you've seen Bobby. Wait until you see big Chris Jans tonight. It's mm-hmm. incredible. He gets pleased. And I don't know how the referees like give the guy a call. They've got to be like, this guy's an asshole. He's in our ear the whole game. So tonight, first four, Chris Jans, Bobby Hurl.
Well, just when coaches are like that, too, I don't know how many guys are like, let me sign up and play for this dude. Because you know he's snapping at him in the locker room and stuff, too.
That's true. That's
true. It's like, you know, Bobby Huggins used to, I'm like, dude, this guy is a prick.
No kidding. Yeah. Mississippi State, a kind of interesting stat about them. They are literally dead last, worst three-pointing shooting team in college basketball. Dead last.
Which doesn't bode well for how the game is nowadays.
No, I know, but somehow they're getting the dubs. It's because they finish at the rack at a super high rate, and they get a boatload of offensive rebounds.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about teams that don't travel well earlier. Sometimes it's whether or not you've just got like that stud, you know, like a Bama has like that Miller. It's like, that guy's a big difference maker if the rest of your dudes are off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does make a big difference. Well, you know, before this show ends, we got to talk about the guy that makes the big difference. He's probably going to be the wooden player of the year. Big Zach Edey, the center for Purdue. Mm-hmm. Is that guy teeny?
Yeah.
Dude. So we were watching it with our boys, and my six-year-old's like, whoa, Dad, how tall's that guy? And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, so he's 7'4", and I'm 6 feet tall, and it was the exact same thing as the difference between me and the six-year-old. So I go, well, you see how much taller I am than you? And he's like, yeah. And I go, that guy's that much taller than me. And he's like, you mean you're me? And he's you? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, whoa, that's super tall. And if you think about, like, you know, some people aren't around basketball that long. I mean, when you're walking around in public, dude, what's the tallest guy you see? Maybe like the 6'5", right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of our friends are like 6'5". And when they roll into a room, everyone's like, whoa, that dude's hell of tall. You can tell when they look at him. If you see a dude that's out walking and like you see him in the grocery store and he's 6'8", that guy's a monster. Like, everyone's looking at him, and people are like, how tall are you? How tall are you? Did you play basketball? How tall are you? Dude, when you're 7'4", wow. I mean, he makes people on the basketball court look small, like the guys that are 6'9".
Yeah.
So, anyway, he touches the rock on 38% of the possessions. Like, they try to kick it down low to him. Not fast, not slow, but he's definitely a force. The problem? Two freshman guards. How far are they going to go?
I was just looking at some of their scores, too, and just looked like coming down the stretch that they were always just like a 2 or 4 point game. So it's like just real susceptible to going down, I think.
Well,
there's not much room for margin of error there.
No, because, I mean, obviously they're not running and gunning with him.
No.
And they also, they lost like 4 out of the last 5 on the road as well. So it's not like they're, you know. Anyone in the Big Ten, and that's what scares me about the Big Ten, is they're just, you know, they play great at home, way different ball game when they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, one of the things you should take a look at is how teams play on the road or in neutral environments, right?
Yeah, and like you just said with the young guard, I mean, they always stress having the good guard play. I mean, if we're dealing with like a McDonald's All-American guy as your point guard, that's a different story. But if we're going with a couple of freshmen here, no tournament experience.
That's what it is. And unfortunately, the statistics say that they don't handle the press very well either. So I think they've been kind of riding Big Zach quite a bit. You know, they play those ball games that are in like the 50s to 60 points a game, and Big Zach's got like 25 of them. It's like if that guy has an off night or a team shuts him down a little bit, good night. They're peace out. Not to mention they've got the hardest bracket in the East. I mean, you've got Marquette in there. You've got Michigan State, Montana State. Like I said, they're super tall with experience. You got Duke, Tennessee, Kentucky. I mean, that's by far. Memphis, Florida Atlantic as the number 9. That's by far the hardest bracket. Mm-hmm. USC. I mean, come on.
Yeah, some people have Duke going to the Final Four, but I mean that they're in a 5-12 with Oral Roberts to start off there, and some people liked Oral Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Duke is, like you said, they're super young. They're like the fourth tallest team in the nation. They're mm-hmm. huge.
It's their coach's first tourney, too, so it's going to be a little different for Shire.
No kidding. So I'm not really that high on the big Duke. I've got them winning their first 2 games. And then good night.
I've got Purdue knocking them down.
Yep, I've got that too. I said good night, Duke. We'll see you later.
Well, so what are you looking for in the first round in terms of if you're going to throw some chips on a game?
Well, that's true because it's way different, right? Winning the bracket, that's also not like a very good bet either, is to like put chips on who you think's going to win. Like, you know, we've gone over how those odds are garbage.
Why do you think that mortgage company was going to give the $1 million to the perfect bracket?
Yeah, I think that was our boy from Omaha, right?
Rocket Mortgage?
No, was it Rocket? I thought it was our boy from Omaha, Warren Buff.
No, it was Rocket Mortgage.
I think Warren did it. Like several years ago, he was the first one that goes, hey, I'll give someone $1 million if they get the bracket 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that.
Never been done.
Not even close. And so I think it'd even be hard just for you to get all the games right on day one, really.
Yeah.
Especially this year. But it sure is fun filling out the bracket. And to answer your question, why don't we get into another best bettor here?
Sure.
We touched a little bit on Penn State and Texas A&M, and Texas A&M's just running out of a little gas here. And my boy, big Jalen Pickett from Penn State, is just starting to put the foot on the gas. So I'll take them plus the 2.5. Penn State plus 2.5.
Okay.
That's better.
What about a team from our region here? We got St. Mary's is another 5-12er. Versus VCU.
Wow.
That was another one where people were kind of liking VCU because they liked to full court press the whole game.
Yeah. And so everyone's like, oh, how's the physicality going to be for St. Mary's? We don't know.
Yeah. St. Mary's had a good season. They just came up against Gonzaga again at the championship in Las Vegas there for the WCC. One freshman guard, Mahaney, and then the other one's like a fifth-year senior, Johnson, transfer from Cincinnati. I like his game, his bros in the pros.
Yeah, well, I mean, so they have a good backcourt, which is always, you know, one of the things you want on the checklist for the March Madness. They did get smoked in that championship game, the WCC championship game. Remember, I think I texted you and another friend, like, they were down at half by, like, 15, and St. Mary's was only -4 the second half. And I'm like, dude, St. Mary's has got to cover this -4. Nope. Just a complete ass whooping. Big Gonzaga goes, hey, we're tuning up, guys. St. Mary's, step over. Here we come. But against the big VCU, I think they'll take care of business there. I don't think it'll be easy. I think the line is like St. Mary's -3.5. I wouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird here. I'm just looking at, like, I'm going to those games, and you'd figure, like, this West Coast, it's the West Coast bracket, but I'm going to some games that are from the South.
Yeah, which is cool, because you'll be able to see some other teams.
Right. So, I mean, I guess they do it to let you see other squads that aren't, you know, from the different regions, but it's just kind of weird how they lay it out.
Who calls the games, do you know? Who's going to be there? Is our boy Big Bill Walton do March Madness?
Nope. Ah. No, this is like True TV, CBS Sports, TNT. I mean, they throw Chuck Wagon and Kenny and those guys on.
Oh, what about Big? And I got to give this guy props. I have to admit, back in the day, he really annoyed me. But, dude, I've got to give props to Big Dick Vitale being 83 years old, and the guy still has that energy.
Oh, yeah, he's great. But he's ESPN. He won't be on these.
Bummer. Those are like the two best guys.
No, I mean, these are always like Grant Hill, Bill Raft, you know, Raftery.
Oh, yeah.
With the kiss.
Dude, come on. Big Bill Walton. I was watching him do the Tournament of Champions. And he goes, what a beautiful day today. He's like, I saw not only one, but two rainbows. It was incredible. Now, back to the Tournament of Champions.
Big Bill's puffing before he comes on.
Dude, that guy is pure entertainment. He's unreal.
He's Pac-12 like games. That's all he does.
Tournament of Champions. Well, one thing that I'd like to see from the players this year is let's get the big shorts back instead of the nut huggers, these little shorts that everyone has. Why in Tar Heel Dickens would you want short shorts like that?
Well, we were saying that, you know, it got too big where they were huge after the Fab Five. And like 10 years later, I'm like, dude, these things are.
Well, that was like with Allen Iverson. They got like too big.
But, past the knee. And then you knew someone would bring back like the John Stocktons. And
well, these are shorter than John's.
Well, you see some of the high school kids even take the waistband and fold it over again.
Dude. Huh. And by the way, maybe if you had like yoked legs, you know, like super muscular legs. But like to see these like sticks, like no one cares to see those.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
The shorts.
Right. So we don't have much time left here. Do you want to go through
Final fours?
Sure. You start her off.
Okay. I've got a 2 seed coming out of the East in Marquette facing Bama coming out of the South.
Let me get to the East here. Okay, there we go. Big Marquette. You know what? I'm with you there, buddy, because there's a guy that plays the point guard there. His name is Big Tyler, and he balls. Tyler Kolek. He was actually the Big East Player of the Year, and he only averaged 13 points a game, but actually 8 assists, which is second in the nation. That guy's a baller. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Big Marquette. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. And then top right, Midwest, our boy down in Houston, Big Mac, the mattress man, put chips on these guys when the season started.
Houston?
Could be looking good.
No.
Yeah, it's his next big bet. I got Houston, and then out of the West, I'm going with the senior leadership of Big Timmy and Gonzaga.
Okay. And then you got the far left top, South.
I had South, I got Bama, and I have Bama versus Houston in the championship, and I've got Houston as the champ.
Wow. So you're with Big Mac. Dude, I think you might want to fade Big Mac. I wouldn't want to be on the same team
this
as Big
Mac. This is the year of the Mac. The return of the Mac.
All right, so out of the East, I've got the Big Marquette as well. Then out of the South, nah, like we said, that bracket is just garbage. So, I mean, you could tell me any team out of that, and I'd be like, okay, maybe, but I pick Big Creighton. Let's get Big Creighton rocking and rolling. They've got some senior leadership. And
you have Creighton coming out to the Final Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a 6 seed. I like it.
Yeah. And then, actually, I didn't realize that. That doesn't bode well. A 6 seed hasn't made. Ready for this?
Do we have some on-air adjustments?
The 6 seed hasn't made. I saw that. The 6 seed hasn't made the Final Four since the Fab Five. So that doesn't sit very well. Bode well, very well. But Creighton, let's do it. Join the Fab Fiver there. I'll stick with you.
This is a down year in terms of dominant teams.
Big time. And then out of the Midwest, well, I've said his name a couple times. I'm going to say it again. Big Jalen Pickett, Penn Stater. I'm riding him all the way to the Final Four.
Wow, you have some big seeds here.
Yep, I sure do. And then out of the West, and this is my squad. And I actually, it's my only futures bet that I did probably 4 weeks ago. I took Big UConn. And so my Final Four is UConn, Penn State, Creighton, Marquette. I don't have one single number one making the Final Four. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? It probably means I'm going to get absolutely waxed or I'll take first place.
Yeah, it's one or the other. Feast or famine.
Yep. And I've got Big Marquette versus UConn in the championship game, and I've got Big UConn as the champ. Big UConn, number one team in the nation, offensive rebounding. I'm not sure if you've seen them play, but they're teeny. They've got 2 7-footers that play ball. One's actually a freshman, so he'll probably be the next big Zach Edey here in a couple of years.
Coach Ollie. Yeah, they The another team that they're going to face, I think, I have them kind of going up against Arkansas and Coach Musselman.
Mm-hmm.
He left Nevada a few years ago for a better gig because the SEC takes care of you. You know, they sent the jet and the coin his way.
Right.
And he had like a top 5 recruiting class this year. I thought he was going to be a little more higher ranked than this, but he knows his way around a tournament.
I agree. They were injured, and now they're not. So that's actually a good time to ride him. I've got
him in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, no, I've got Big Arkansas beating Kansas, and then I've just got UConn beating Arkansas. So yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then before we sign off, people might want to know the rest of the best bets.
Yep.
All righty, here we go. So like I said, Penn State plus 2.5 against Texas A&M. Utah State under the 155. The other one that I didn't mention, Drake plus the 2.5 there's Miami. I mean, the ACC is horrible this year, and that's you, Miami. And then the fourth best bet, which I absolutely love, Big Gonzaga's playing Grand Canyon. And I know Grand Canyon scores 84 points against the Southern Utahs and the Seattles of the world, but this is Big Gonzaga. We're going under 157. You got to be shitting me if you think Grand Canyon's going to come in here and just start firing on the March Madness against Gonzaga. Going to be probably a little intimidated. We'll take the under 157.
Grand Canyon's where Thunder Dan Marley took the opening job there. Didn't really pan out. Now it's Bryce Drew, the guy that was the March Madness darling back in the day.
Oh, you know, that's the only reason why I know Grand Canyon is because Thunder Dan was, you know, bringing some publicity to it.
I remember Bryce Drew played for his dad at Valpo, and he hit like a just past half court one time to kind of keep them going.
Yeah, no, I didn't know he was the coach. I do remember him. That's interesting. Yeah, so they, you know, you're going to hear that they put up all these points and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's great when you're playing Southern Utah, you know. Or you're playing the guys from the YMCA. We're stepping up here.
Sure. Yeah, Gonzaga's got some tourney experience.
Dude.
As long as Mark Few's not out tuning the night before.
Getting the DUIs, the coach.
Up in Coeur d'Alene.
So I'm with you. I think Gonzaga balls too. I mean, I just have them losing to my UConn. I wouldn't be surprised if Gonzaga, you know, goes deep into this. So I always end, you know, this podcast off with each year is this tournament is a bear to try to pick, but we can definitely pick off some games against the spread.
We can go one at a time here.
That's right. So we'll be back next Tuesday.
And that'll be the Sweet 16.
Yes, it will be. And we'll be able to recap the first 68 and then give us your thoughts.
Break it down on where we see it going from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll do it for this opening round version here. But don't forget Twitter and Instagram. It's at Bolt Brady Picks. Enjoy the opening 2 days. Thursday, Friday's a hoot. I'll be at Sacktown watching the games, but we will catch you guys next week.
See ya.